the brief one from Jeremiah 8:20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It seems that in spite of all evidence to the contrary, people will believe that there is some kind of way of the future to harmonize with the false philosophy of the moral fathers and the sons of men. In short, my generation not accepted human nature separated from God. Instead of reading the signs of the times and facing stock, preferred living in a huge paradise. All these texts, which in the course of time have grown into a sort of proverbial saying, addresses itself to this need. It is part of the piece of superb elegiac poetry which the prophet Jeremiah bemoans the calamity that has befallen his people. This calamity is not, as some have surmised, because of the terminology with regard to the season, a drought of which nothing is said in this context, but the destruction or end of Israel as a national entity. Immediately preceding is a description of the Babylonian army coming from the north, the snorting of the horses of the host and down.
So, what today is July 28, 1980. The speaker is Professor Smith.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you have all heard about Daniel, haven't you? Or should I say Saint Daniel? For he is every bit as great as he was, as Elijah, Abraham, Moses, and the rest of the Old Testament heroes. There's probably very little that I should tell you in addition to what you already know about this Daniel. Whereas most modern critical scholarship has relegated Daniel somewhere between myth and the intertestamental period, the Sunday School remembers him primarily as the conqueror of lions. There to be a Daniel, we are so often told, even though Daniel probably was over 90 years old and gently lowered into the lion's den, and was probably less than enthusiastic to be there in the first place. However, seminarians, pastors, professors, all may learn a great deal from Daniel, even this morning. For God's word may enrich our appreciation of the discipline of a Daniel. So often we have the tendency to complain about the lack of discipline in others and ourselves. Professors constantly remind each other of students' lack of discipline. Their study habits, their priorities do not lend themselves to good discipline. Students are often concerned that what they read in the seminary catalog about a course is not exactly what they get from the professor. And oftentimes they wish that he would be more organized. As the pastors, I was clearly reminded yesterday of so often the lack of discipline in our parishes. Just before the celebration of the Lord's Supper, as I am turning to God's precious, redeemed, holy, undefiled people to wish them the peace of the Lord be with them always, it seemed as if I were the starter in an Olympic race. The last five rows on their mark, ready to head to their parking lot as soon as the endless day was begun by the organist. There is such a great lack of discipline. And I think it's primarily because we wish that we were more disciplined in our life. And oftentimes we feel so guilty. Note the highly instructive words of the text. When Daniel heard that the document had been signed, he retired to his house. The windows of his upstairs room faced toward Jerusalem. Three times each day he continued to fall on his knees, praying and giving thanks to God as he had always done. These are such marvelous words, without which we would be unable to fathom or to begin to appreciate the theological depth of this Daniel episode. Note that Daniel didn't think by saying when the lion's breath was heavy upon him. For a lifetime, he had been saying at specific times in specific places. It stands quite a contrast to the typical layman's concept of prayer. When the Titanic is sinking and the band strikes out, will my God to be, he looks towards the sky and grasps something religious, hoping that God will hear. It's not that God doesn't hear these cries of desperation. I'm sure he does. But more importantly here, the focus is on Daniel's disciplined prayer life, which is heightened even more by the fact that Daniel is a layman, not a priest or a prophet, and a government official, no less. Discipline plays such an important role in the maturation of any individual or culture. Werner Jaeger, in his classic work, Idea the Study of Greek Culture, neatly defines discipline in the words of Aristotle. Discipline is the essence of culture, that which is progressive to divinity, the most sublime antiochine virtue. And Henry Frederick O'Neill also adds, the distinguishing mark of religion is not so much liberty as discipline and obedience, and its value is measured by the sacrifices which it can extract from the individual. Undoubtedly, the search for personal maturity and self-discipline has led most refined men on their way to a disciplined and obedient life. But for us, there is even a more compelling reason. For the discipline of Daniel was spiritual in nature, and employed for much more than personal growth and maturity. His disciplined prayer life constrained him, left him no choice but to obey God rather than the vain deceit of evil men. Nevertheless, even Daniel's discipline is but a type, a preview of divine wisdom, the fruit of God's creation, whose essence was complete maturity, total discipline, and obedience to God. All of which finds its fulfillment and explanation in the one who was wisdom personified and wisdom incarnate. His discipline and obedience were perfection itself. His life was a complete expression of God's divine plan for mankind. For our Savior first submitted himself to God's mysterious plan by humbling himself to be clothed in our flesh. 30 years of his life could be summarized by which he went down and was subject to him. Of whom the gospel writers record, certainly with the devotion of eyewitnesses themselves, that he often arose early before morning in order to pray. His discipline, prophetic tasks, are clearly stated in the scripture by the use of present infinitive, that he must be continually in his Father's house, and that he must continually proclaim the gospel of the good news. Yet it is his apostle Paul, perhaps the most disciplined of all his apostles, who puts this in proper perspective when he shares with us in the Philippian correspondence. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He who had laid down the oceans and charted the heavens had nowhere to lay his head. He who had fashioned motherhood now had to depend upon Mother Mary for nourishment. He who was honored and praised and glorified by thousands times 10,000 angels now had to subject himself to the taunts and jeers of his cross and the evil threat of his enemies. There must have been a weighty reason for him to leave this perfect life and peace and joy and the fellowship of the Father and the Spirit. There was, the scriptures record, you and me. Obedience took him to the cross to pay for our disobedience and lack of discipline. And to set for us an example, after which we may pattern our obedience and grow. Spirit. Now, what about the purpose of the Holy Spirit capturing the Daniel episode in the pages of Holy Scripture? I imagine Daniel was asking the same question as he was being lowered into the lion's den. Can we work for a lifetime of disciplined prayer and obedience to Yahweh? But the result was clearly mentioned immediately after our text. And it is recorded, King Darius then wrote to men of all nations, people, and languages throughout the world, may peace be with you always. I decree in every kingdom of my empire that all tremble with fear before the God of Daniel. He is the living God. He endures forever. His sovereignty will never be destroyed, and his kingship never end. He saves, sets free, and works signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. And he has saved Daniel from the power of the lion. That day God received glory, and he has continued to receive glory down through the ages, and will always continue to do so, because Daniel was his disciplined agent. He was able to work through Daniel because of his discipline and obedience. May we evermore follow the example of our Lord Jesus and his servant Daniel, as we strive for spiritual maturity and obedience and the discipline of obedience.